The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. From the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. From the one who takes what is yours, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's words from Jesus about loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate our guts, blessing those who curse us, praying for those who mistreat us, giving our underwear and not just our outer coat, walking a second mile, turning the other cheek, giving to whoever asks, not wanting back whatever is taken. These words are challenging 365 days a year. But they're especially challenging on the 13th anniversary of the terrible terrorist atrocities of 9/11 that killed 2,976 of our fellow citizens. They're especially challenging the day after our president has essentially declared war on ISIS after their brutalizing multitudes, beheading Americans as show, raping 8-year-old girls, starving to death Christians if they don't convert to their form of Islam. Jesus is calling us to love the members of Al-Qaeda, to pray for the members of ISIS. These words are especially poignant for us today. But in order to grasp what Jesus is saying and what He's not saying, we really have to enter in. And we're lucky today to have a context that forces us to grasp what the Lord is saying and what He's not saying. First, what is He saying? God is calling us to behave like Him. Jesus, in this gospel, says that if we do what He's calling us to do, we will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That we're called to be merciful, that we're called to love, just like God mercifully loves. All of this is a call for us to grow into the image and likeness of God, in whom, in which, we've been created. And that's a challenging thing, because there are many who have made themselves God's enemies. There are many who curse God. There are many who don't want to have anything to do with Him. There are many who glory in their sins. And yet God continues to offer His forgiveness, like the father of the prodigal son in the parable. we see the greatest illustration of Jesus' words today on Good Friday. Jesus loved his enemies so much that his first word from the cross for those who were crucifying him, for those who were mocking him, for those who were manhandling him, and for all of us who by our addiction to sin were forcing his expiatory death. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was praying for us. He was loving us until the very end. He was offering up his own body and blood to take our place on death row. From the cross, even with his arms pinned, he waves to us and he says, come follow me down this path. This actually is the path to heaven. He's calling us to be like God. God sets us that standard of behavior. And then he proposes it to our freedom, saying, paradoxically, this is the path to real happiness. At the very end of this gospel, he says that God's given us the standard, and then he's going to give us the grace to live by his standard. But we then will judge ourselves by the standard we adopt. If we live by God's standard and forgive those who have hurt us, then we will be forgiven by the Lord himself. But if we choose to live by a worldly standard, to seek vengeance against those who have hurt us, then we will be judged by that lower standard. Jesus tells us, if you don't want to be judged, you stop judging. If you don't want to be condemned, you stop condemning. If you want to be forgiven, forgive. For as he said to us after he taught us the Our Father, for if you don't forgive others their sins, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. He wants to give us everything. He wants to give us gifts, a good measure packed together, shaken down and overflowing, poured into our lap. But if we're not generous to others, we're going to be empty in return. That's what he's calling us to today. Let's make one distinction. We've talked before about the four different Greek words for love. Storge, that love we generally have for our family members, including our cousins, including our good friends, etc. This affection that we have for all those who are familiar members of our family. There's eros, which is romantic love, the love we see between a husband and a wife or fiancés. There's phidia, the love between friends in which the other becomes a second self. The Lord is calling us not to love our enemies in any of these three ways. They're not going to be our pals. We're not going to love them the way we love our spouses. We're not going to be hanging with them. We don't even have to like them. He's calling us to love them with agape. That's the word that he uses. And agape means unconquerable benevolence. That no matter what they do, we will never stop wishing them well. We will never stop trying to do good for them, even if they're not doing good for us. Because this is always the way God behaves. And we're called to be children of our Heavenly Father. Is this hard? Of course it's hard. But it's doable. Because God has made us like Him. And He's giving us all the help we need in order to live up to that standard. But we have to seek to conform our life to it. Okay. So let's now get to the nitty-gritty. When the Lord calls us to turn the other cheek, does that mean we have to give the terrorists our airplane so that they can blow up other buildings with innocent people in it? Does that mean we all have to put out our head and let them behead us like they did our two fellow American journalists that they had captured? No. Just as we wouldn't be loving a drunk if we bought him a bottle of bourbon, so we're not going to love those who are thinking about doing evil for others, toward others, if we enable their doing evil. Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek. He's saying, stop them from harming you in a way that's not seeking vengeance. I've explained it before. The way you'd slap in the ancient world was with a backhand. You'd hit the opposite side cheek. When you turn your face like that, they can't hit that cheek anymore. Jesus is saying, rather than punch the guy in the solar plexus, defend yourself without violence. Now that's good when we can defend ourselves without violence. But sometimes we can't. We want to. We always want to if we're Christian. But sometimes when people aren't going to stop coming after us, we have to render them incapable of continuing to do harm. And sometimes, sadly, the only way to do that is to render someone coming who's not stopping to come after us a lethal blow. It's not what we want to do, but it's to prevent worse evil. When the Lord calls us to love our enemies, He's not saying, love your enemies more than your own children. So let these terrorists kill your kids. He's not saying to the President of the United States, let these terrorists take out your citizens. He's not. Because that would be actually not helping our enemies. That would be facilitating their doing evil, which would not only be harming others, but immeasurably harming their own souls. So that principle of self-defense, on the basis of which the principle of just war is declared, is some of the times when they're not going to stop doing harm, we need to stop them from doing harm. If we can do so by non-lethal means, that's what we're always supposed to do. That's why we have jails, to be able to stop them from doing harm in a way that's not executing them. But sometimes we can't. And the Lord does call us to be good shepherds, willing to lay down our lives to protect sheep, not to mention fellow human beings. And so when Jesus calls us to love our enemies, the principle of self-defense is part of that love. There's a way to defend ourselves without hatred, without vengeance, but with firmness. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do today. But we need a lot of grace in order to be able to do this, because blood is a powerful drug. Having been wounded, having lost family members, can lead us to become almost animal-like in our ferocity toward others, so that we don't hold to God's standards, but we fall down to the standards of everybody else. The standards that go back to, if they've knocked out one of my teeth, I'm going to knock out their whole set. If they pluck out my eyes, I am going to execute them. That is not the way of God. So today we come forward celebrating this votive mass for times of war and civil disturbance, so that precisely we can receive God's help to walk this very fine line. Always, inconquerably loving even those who have made themselves our enemies, and loving them in a way in which we're going to prevent their doing evil without, if we can avoid it, taking their lives. Let us ask the Lord to give us the grace as He strengthens us from the inside out, so that with Him on the inside, we can, in fact, like He showed us on Good Friday and throughout the rest of His life, live this gospel, so that having lived this gospel, we will be judged by this gospel, by the Father who is merciful, who calls us to always emulate that mercy. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.